Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
It was that same yearning for freedom that nearly 250 years ago gave birth to a special place called America. It was a small cluster of colonies caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to the program where we not only talk about the issues of the day, but we pray about them even right at the same time as we're talking. This is a great thing about praying for America, that we just keep moving between the mode of prayer and then discussion and scripture and current events and biblical patriotic education, as I like to say. You are patriots. You are Bible-believing Christians. You are welcome here. You're in the right spot. And we at Priests for Life welcome you, as does, of course, the Right Side Broadcasting Network team. So I want to talk to you more reflections today about the events of last week with this historic off-year election. And draw out some more of the implications of that. But first, let's, of course, start with scripture and prayer. I want to go to Exodus 15. This is a triumphant hymn that the Israelites sang with Moses when they had been delivered from the Red Sea. And we can pray this prayer for America because we've been delivered so many times, right from our founding, right from our inception. Our founders sought God for deliverance from tyranny, right? This was the whole idea. And it worked. It worked at the cost of great sacrifice for them, great risk, but it worked. And so this is, if you will, a hymn of praise for God rescuing us at the very founding of America through many toils and tribulations like the Civil War, the Great Depression, segregation, so many other things. And of course, now with the problem of abortion being the overriding moral stain on our nation, we have little by little deliverance from that. But we need deliverance from this Biden administration and from all the damage that the Democrats are doing. We have to pray for deliverance. So we pray this in thanksgiving for what's already been accomplished and in anticipation of future victories. Let's read the word of God and pray. Moses and the Israelites, this is beginning of chapter 15 of Exodus, sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is gloriously triumphant. Horse and chariot he has cast into the sea. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. He is my God, I praise him. The God of my father, I extol him. The Lord is a warrior, Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and army he hurled into the sea. The elite of his officers were submerged in the Red Sea. The flood waters covered them. They sank into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, magnificent in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has shattered the enemy. In your great majesty, you overthrew your adversaries. You loosed your wrath to consume them like stubble. At a breath of your anger, the waters piled up. The flowing waters stood like a mound. The flood waters congealed in the midst of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue and overtake them. I will divide the spoils and have my fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand will despoil them. When your wind blew, the sea covered them. Like lead, they sank in the mighty waters. Who is like to you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like to you? Magnificent in holiness, O terrible in renown, worker of wonders, When you stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your mercy, you led the people you redeemed. In your strength, you guided them to your holy dwelling. The nations heard and quaked. Anguish gripped the dwellers in Philistia. Then were the princes of Edom dismayed. Trembling seized the chieftains of Moab, and all the dwellers of Canaan melted away. Terror and dread fell upon them. By the might of your arm, they were frozen like stone, while your people, O Lord, passed over, while the people you had made your own passed over. And you brought them in and planted them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, where you made your seat, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Father, we echo this song of praise, first and foremost, because this has been fulfilled in us who have been redeemed in the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. This has been redeemed in us who have been saved through the waters of baptism, bringing us into that great paschal mystery that Christ has died and Christ is risen, and in the hope that he indeed will come again. We thank you, God, that we have been redeemed from the kingdom of sin and death and hell, that as we await that second coming, we can rejoice in a new life, living already in a promised land, seated already with Christ in the heavenly places, sharing already the gift of eternal life. We praise you, Father, because we have been rescued, redeemed, lifted up, saved, rescued from the mighty waters. Those waters instead have drowned our foe, the ancient curse of sin, the devil, and all his works and all his empty promises. They have been cast into the sea. The power of death itself has been swallowed up in victory. So, Lord, we say this prayer. We sing this song from Exodus 15 with our new life in Christ in mind. We also sing this song and say this prayer with America in mind, O God, because you blessed our founders with courage, with vision, with trust in you, with faith in you. You blessed them, Lord, mightily, as they appealed to your divine providence, as they appealed to you as the supreme judge of the world, declaring the reasons why they were separating themselves from the tyrannical king. And they set us on a path, Lord, with this system of government, where we would forever be free from tyranny. But they knew, Lord God, it could not be done without you. This was not human effort alone. This was your grace. They knew that you were the giver of this gift, that you were the only guarantee of its success. They knew that. And Lord God, furthermore, they gave us a system that we must maintain. They gave us a system of divided government, divided among the three branches, divided between state and federal, so that no one would have absolute power, that there could be no tyrant, no monarch. Lord God, the only one to whom we owe absolute obedience, and our founders knew this, is you. They declared that any human law must be subject to divine law, and that no human law could change the moral law. We thank you, Lord God, because this hymn of victory is also America's hymn, for having led us through so many difficult times, so many threats to the very survival of the nation, and yet you led us through in the past. We pray, Lord God, tonight that you lead us through in the present, that all the things that threaten our nation, the ongoing scourge of abortion, the deterioration of the southern border, the mishaps on the international stage, the burden placed on our, imposed on our economy, all the things that this current administration has done to mess things up. Lord God, we pray that our nation may come through this stronger than ever before. Give us again the leadership of President Donald Trump, and those who pursue along with him the America First agenda, that we may, Lord God, with the flourishing of religious freedom and with the protection of our most fundamental rights and with the protection of our children, that we may again sing glorious songs of victory to your name. We pray in the name of the only Lord, the only Savior, the Lord of all nations, the Lord of America, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I was with President Trump this past week with many of his friends, many of his associates, many of the people that were in his administration and who worked on his both of his campaigns at Mar-a-Lago. And we had a gathering on Thursday night and Friday all day of a group I have talked to you about before, the America First Policy Institute. Friends, look it up. It's headed by Brooke Rollins, who worked in the Trump administration. The America First Policy Institute exists precisely for that purpose, to implement, to advance America First policy. So, as we have discussed many times, educating people about the accomplishments of President Trump, preserving those accomplishments against the Democrat forces that want to destroy them and undo them, and then preserving them and then building on them and advancing them further. And there are so many ways that we can advance America First policies even under a contrary administration. And you saw what happened in the elections last week, which we're going to reflect on a little bit more. So President Trump was great. He shared some powerful remarks on Thursday night and then popped in again on Friday as we were having various sessions. Our executive director here at Priest for Life, Janet Morana, was there as well. And both of us representing our ministry and representing our commitment to the America First agenda, we're very, very blessed also to catch up with so many people that we had worked with both during the campaigns of President Trump's election and also during the administration itself. Those glorious 4 years when we made more progress in America than under any other administration. There's no question about it. And we've talked on this program, and we'll talk again about the numerous accomplishments that show that. Well, I want to also share with you this crazy email that I got from a fellow priest. Every once in a while, I mean, it makes for great talking points on TV. Email from this fellow priest. Sorry, Father, but, you know, you put yourself in this situation here where I got to talk about you publicly. Father Michael Novick from Chicago. So first of all, let me read the email that I sent out. I sent it out to our whole list. The day before, no, actually it was on election day. Okay. So here's what I said. You tell me what you think about it. Tell me in the comments, by the way, as we're going through this. November 2nd, 2021. Here's the email I sent out to our list. It's election day, 2021. Do you have elections in your voting district today? If so, God bless you as you get out and vote and get as many others as possible to do the same. The more people we can get out to vote today, the more ready we will be to get them out for the midterms a year from now. So far, so good? Okay. Then I go on to say, and both this year and next, we have to kick the Democrats out of office. I've said it countless times before, and I'll say it countless times again. The Democrat Party has become an evil party and does not deserve one shred of political power. There are various statewide and local elections today. One of the most closely watched is the Virginia governor's race. It is a state so close to the seat of today's Democrat power, and a Republican victory there today will speak volumes to the nation as we see Democrat policies completely out of touch with mainstream America. A great man is running on the Republican ticket, Glenn Youngkin, endorsed by President Trump and by me and by countless other patriots. I wanted to share with you a video clip about in which he talks about his faith. Pass it along to your friends in Virginia. So I included that link in the email. And then finally, the email goes on to say, please join me in the election prayer at electionprayer.com. And finally, join me this Wednesday evening, November 3rd, for an election seminar. And then I give the info. And we had a great seminar the following night. We need you to be involved. Please sign up. And then sincerely, Father Frank Pavone. Okay. So now the only reason you wouldn't like an email like that is if you like the Democrats. If you like the Democrats, of course, you've got some, you know, mental adjusting to do, kind of mental cleanup to do, spiritual renewal, repentance. Maybe that's the problem with this guy. I don't know. But here's what he writes back to me. Frank, I hate to do this, but I will have to block any more emails from you. Okay. Like this, right? This is the solution to some people, for some people, but to America's problems, right? And don't forget this. I don't want to see. I don't want to hear. Close me off. I'm going to block you. I have to block any more emails from you. This particular email seals the deal. You've really gone off the deep end. Well, Father Michael, let me tell you something straight and clear. It's the Democrat Party that has gone off the deep end. The other day, I did a broadcast mass in reparation for the sins of the Democrat Party. Unfettered abortion. Not even willing to protect babies in the 7th, 8th, and 9th month of pregnancy, healthy babies carried by healthy mothers under the Democrat plan can be aborted for any reason as often as the mother wants. Getting rid of all reasonable restrictions on abortion, parental involvement, clinic regulations, informed consent, waiting periods, all kinds of other laws that are supported by a majority of the American people. Nancy Pelosi and the House of Representatives, they not only introduced this legislation, they passed it in the House. They passed it. Who's gone off the deep end? They don't even want to protect babies born alive after a failed abortion. Go ahead and ask them. They won't even have the vote on it. All the Republicans in the House have signed a discharge petition to get a vote on that particular bill. And the Democrats, we need 5 Democrats out of a couple of hundred of them, and they won't do it. To protect babies born alive, outside the womb. Southern border, I mean, do we have to talk about, do we even have to debate whether this is sinful? To be allowing criminals, sex traffickers, drug traffickers, all kinds of diseases. And it just, sure, come on in. Just flood over the border and you know all the problems. Look at what's been being done to our freedoms. And to our children in the schools being indoctrinated with radical ideology. These are all Democrat left-wing policies. They've gone off the deep end. You want to find out who's gone crazy? It's not us who are patriots and who are trying to apply common sense, much less morality and Christian doctrine and the gospel, but apply common sense to American life. When you can't even understand, when you want to take down statues of George Washington, when you want to redefine the history of this country and say it didn't begin in 1776, it began in 1619, and it's a country based on hatred and division and racism. When you want to redefine marriage and the family, when you can't tell that a baby is a baby and a man is a man and a woman is a woman, you know, I'll tell you who's gone off the deep end, Father Michael, and it isn't me. He goes on to say, last weekend I preached. Get this. Get that out. Really listen to this. This guy is, you know, here we go. Last weekend I preached about just how all of this judging has to stop. Here we go. Far too many people, including myself at times, take the opportunity to take and tear down people who don't agree with their views. Your views expressed here are the exact peace we were told that we ought to avoid. Politics. Well, let me stop you right there, Father Michael. You avoid addressing politics from the pulpit, and politics become more and more pagan. There's no two ways about it. Either the church jumps in and says something about all this, or our politics in this country continue to take us down the road of paganism. And listen to what he says next. Calling the Democrats evil, you make yourself judge and jury. Judge and jury. Killing of a baby. So if I call the killing of a baby and a policy that wants to increase that activity and make you and me pay for it out of our hard-earned tax dollars, I'm the one that has the problem? This, friends, this is upside down. This is sick. And listen to what he goes on to say. I do not agree with everything they stand for, but denoting something as evil is reserved for one person in the end, Jesus. Well, no, exactly the opposite is the case. Jesus commands us to both understand and to condemn evil. Have you not read the Gospels, the Catechism of the Church, and all the encyclicals and all the documents that train us to identify the difference between good and evil? We're not supposed to identify things as evil, only Jesus is. We're not talking about the state of a person's soul. We're talking about a policy that allows massive baby killing. We're talking about policies that indoctrinate our children against the will of the parents in left-wing ideology. We're talking about policies. Friends, you know, people ask me, you know, what in the heck is wrong with the church? Why aren't we addressing these problems? Well, here's the answer right here. Because you've got some people like this, dressed like this, and going into pulpits with this kind of an attitude. And then they write to people like me, oh, I want to block your emails. I want to block your emails. I thought I'd share that with you because I figured that you would appreciate it above all, this particular audience. Let's just go through a couple of other things here. I took longer on that than I anticipated. Biden's approval rate has dropped to 38%. This is abysmal. And Kamala Harris, 28%. USA Today poll, Suffolk. USA Today Suffolk poll. Nearly half of those surveyed, you heard this. I want to go into some of the details, though. Nearly half of those surveyed, 46%, say Biden has done a worse job as president than they expected. Yeah, we told you so. Including 16% of those who voted for him. Ah, we really told you so. Independents by 7-1, 44% to 6% say he has done worse, not better, than they expected. Wow, he's really lost the independents. Nearly 2/3 of Americans, 64%, say they don't want Biden to run for a second term in 2024. That includes 28% of Democrats. Boy, those on the other end of that equation, they got to be living out on Saturn or Pluto or something. Vice President Harris, approval rating, okay, 28%, even worse than Biden's. Now, 51% disapprove of the job she's doing. Of course, I'm not sure what job she's doing, but that's another question. But that doesn't even mean that the rest approve. 1 in 5, 21% are undecided. She's got a pretty horrible record, but you know what? You could see it coming. Look how bad she did when she was trying to be a candidate herself. Are we blind? So, you know, this all is so very predictable. It's shocking in one sense to the establishment. It's shocking. And if the election were held today, those surveyed said they would vote for their Republican congressional candidate over the Democrat one by 46 to 38%. Now, all of this And we saw, of course, the earthquake of this last week's elections, not just Virginia, the Pennsylvania pro-life judges that were elected, the school boards across the country that rejected the garbage of critical race theory, New Jersey. What happened in New Jersey? I mean, the fact that that governor's race was so razor thin close as it was. And then, of course, what happened with the state Senate Democrat leader being challenged by a truck driver. Something's going on. Something big is going on. And there's a key lesson here. What did the winning candidates do? Let's start with the governor-elect now of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin. Listen, we got to take a lesson away from this. And it's a lesson that President Trump has taught us. This victory, by the way, is because of President Trump. We're not talking about, you know, how closely did the candidate Youngkin associate himself with President Trump. That's not the main point. President Trump himself has always said to us, it's not about me, it's about you and what we all stand for together. He says, they're going after me because they're coming after you. So it's about the policies, America first policy. And President Trump would be the first one to say that. But the fact of the matter is, if the Trump base had not come out in that election and seen the importance of electing Glenn Youngkin, well, there's no way he would have won without the Trump support. So the fact of the matter is, and the fact of the matter also is that you don't compare percentages as some, you know, there's some fake news going around. Let me just grab this particular point. A narrative that Youngkin outperformed President Trump. It's not true. You look at percentages, of how many come out is one thing, but you look at the actual number of votes. President Trump got 285,000 more votes in Virginia than Youngkin did. But if his people hadn't come out, then Glenn Youngkin wouldn't have had that victory. But here's the thing about the influence of President Trump. He taught us how to take what we believe and defend it vigorously by fighting back against the opponents. What Youngkin did is exactly what President Trump teaches us to do, which was what we always recommend. You've got to brand the Democrats. You've got to brand them. You've got to say what they are and show how evil and extreme they are. Despite these priests, like the one from Chicago that wrote to me, that are kind of off the rail a little bit. You got to brand them. This is how we win. And they go off on their extreme paths. You got to fight back. You got to hang it around their neck. Their extreme thing, like happened in Virginia, especially with the schools, right? And the indoctrination of children. Parents are not going to stand for that. Doesn't matter what political party they belong to. They want to protect their children. And so you're not going to win on that unless you bring it out front and center and brand the other party and throw the extreme policy that they are advancing and the extreme ideology that they have, throw it as a weight around their neck. That's how you win. President Trump is a fighter. He has shown us how to fight, and Republican candidates all up and down the ticket not only will benefit from his endorsement, they will benefit even more by following his example and fighting the way that he does. You know, this is interesting. Even former Democrat presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, tweeted this. McAuliffe's loss in Virginia is a victory for all Americans. A victory for all Americans. Why? Because it was a resounding rejection of efforts to divide us by race, the stripping of parental rights, and arrogant, deaf leaders. This benefits us all. That is great that Tulsi said that. And another thing that has happened now, you know, with this kind of victory, there's a reassessment going on of course, about the chances of Democrat candidates in the midterms. And because of that, you know, you have these ratings systems of like the Cook Political Report, for example. I hope that you tune in and receive that. In fact, I want to recommend that as an action. Go to Cook Political online and sign up for their report. You pay a monthly fee, but it's well worth it. The insight and information you get about where races stand. They have downgraded the chances of a number of Democrat candidates for the U.S. Senate. This is very important. I mean, the dynamics we look at revealed in this election and shown in the sinking poll numbers of Biden-Harris really bode well for the Republicans in the midterm elections, taking back both the House and the Senate. But four races have actually been officially downgraded. I mentioned Cook Political, but this is actually from the University of Virginia's Center for Politics crystal ball. And the director, Larry Sabato, told CNN about this situation and predicted that under these current circumstances, Republicans will take both the House and the Senate. And the four senators are, take note, those of you that live in Arizona, Democrat Senator Mark Kelly. Those of you that live in Colorado, Senator Michael Bennett. Those of you that live in Georgia, Senator Raphael Warnock. And those that you who live in Nevada, Democrat Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. These four races have been downgraded in their likelihood that the Democrat will win. And you're going to see a whole lot of other adjustments and changes happen as time goes on. We've got to work hard in all the states that have Senate elections. We've got to work hard in every congressional district now. Let's build on this momentum, and let's do it with the spirit of that passage that we read earlier from Exodus 15, singing the praises of the Lord who delivers us from evil. Let's turn to him and pray. Father, we want to pray here tonight, first of all, for our fellow citizens, that they read the signs of the times. Lord, let us not be afraid to fight. Let us not be afraid to call evil what it is. This is what our church, this is what your gospel commands us to do. And Lord, save us from pastors like the one whose email I read, who don't think that we can judge evil. I mean, Lord, this is a relinquishing, this is an abandonment of pastoral responsibility. There's a reason that a pastor, a shepherd, has a crook and a staff, you know, to lead those sheep in the right direction. How can he do it if he doesn't see the difference between the right direction and the wrong direction? Lord, enable us courageously to see and to identify evil, to name it, to call it out, to point to it, and to fight against it. Bless our religious leaders with the ability to do this, with the courage to do it. And Lord, bless our political leaders. Lord, we need your help. And we need America First candidates who are going to do exactly what President Trump has taught us how to do, in fighting vigorously for what we believe in, not just holding the right positions, fighting vigorously to advance them, and labeling and branding the other side, so that people will know who they are and what they really stand for. Lord, we ask you to enable us to build on the momentum of these off-year elections that just took place. And Lord God, we ask you that your people may indeed become so active, so involved in the midterm elections at every level of government. Let them begin even now, Lord God, on the precinct level, getting involved, being active, being vocal. We pray all this through Christ our Lord, and we use the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. God bless you, friends. Thanks for joining me. And please connect with me on social media. FR Frank Pavone is my handle. You'll find me on Parler and Getter, on Instagram and YouTube and Twitter. And then on Facebook, Father Frank Pavone. Some of you are watching me there right now. And then Connect with Right Side Broadcasting at RSB Network. We want to all stay connected with you. We want to keep encouraging one another. And may the Lord bless you now and all your needs and keep you always close to Him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Join us again tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.